Egypt, temple of all the world.
Dost thou not know, Asclepius, that Egypt is the image of heaven, or what is truer still, the transference or the descent of all that rule or act in heaven? And if more truly still it must be said, this land of ours is a temple of all the world. It was a commonplace among virtually all ancient commentators in the Greco-Roman world that Egypt was the fountainhead of esoteric knowledge and wisdom. Herodotus, Plutarch, Cherimon of Alexandria, and Iamblichus all testified to this. Pythagoras studied in Memphis and may well have been initiated into the mysteries himself. Those closest to ancient Egypt in time spoke of its deep mystical and esoteric wisdom, coupled with efficacious and profound initiatory practices, a source of true power. For that its very quality of sound, the true power of the Egyptian names, have in themselves the bringing into reality that which is said. This view persisted during the next millennium in the literature of the Roman Empire in the East and in the Islamic world. When this legacy was rediscovered in the West during the 15th century Italian Renaissance, Western scholars accepted the classical commentators at their word. Renaissance thinkers saw in the Greco-Roman mysteries and in their Egyptian sources a connection to the Prisca Theologia, the underlying original world spirituality. For ensuing centuries, scholars such as the esotericist and polymath Athanasius Kircher of the Society of Jesus continued to pore over Egyptian materials seeking this wisdom. Early modern Egyptologists continued to hold traditional viewpoints of the ancient sources. However, by the end of the 19th century, this had changed radically. Standard academic Egyptology now viewed the Egyptians as practical and materialistic, uninterested in theory or transcendence, and utterly devoid of mysticism, initiations, or any deep spirituality. As one said, they were a pleasure-loving people, gay, artistic, and sharp-witted, but lacking in depth of feeling and idealism. While scholars agree that major rituals and public festivals, participated in by all, took place throughout the history of Pharaonic Egypt, the approach denying genuine Egyptian mysticism or esoteric initiations prior to Alexander's conquests in 332 before our era is still the mainstream view among academic Egyptologists today. The three books reviewed here represent three aspects of the reevaluation of the mystical, esoteric, and initiatic character of ancient Egypt in the academic world. Rosicrucians and others on the Hermetic path have never had any doubts as to the initiatic and mystical aspects of Pharaonic heritage. Indeed, the pioneering works of Frater and Dr. Max Guimot demonstrate this admirably. Eric Hornung's The Secret Lore of Egypt is not a revisionist work on ancient Egyptian mysticism. Hornung, a professor emeritus of Egyptology at the University of Basel, and Jan Assmann, a German Egyptologist and archaeologist, are arguably the two leading mainstream academic scholars of Pharaonic Egyptian religion today. Both continue to hold a view that Egyptian religion then appears to be a matter of faith, the product of imaginative reconstruction rather than that of mystical practice. Hornung's work is a fascinating exploration of the field he terms Egyptosophy, that is, the wisdom of Egypt. The opinion that the land of the Nile was the fount of all wisdom and the stronghold of Hermetic lore. He carefully contrasts Egyptosophy with Egyptology, the study of Egypt, which in his view studies the historical record of Egypt. Egyptosophy for Hornung is still the study of an imaginary Egypt viewed as the profound source of all esoteric lore. This Egypt is a timeless idea, bearing only a loose relationship to the historical reality. Hornung is the first major Egyptologist to take the wisdom tradition connected with Egypt seriously as a pervasive phenomenon in the West, even if continuing to deny the reality of its historical source. His work complements the emerging studies in Western esotericism by Antoine Febvre and others. However, as Dr. Jeremy Nadler points out, even these scholars of esotericism limit themselves by relying too heavily on the academic establishment's rejection of actual mysticism in pre-Hellenistic Egypt. Regardless of one's position on the definition of the origins of Egyptian wisdom, Hornung's The Secret Lore remains a valuable resource for the Egyptian mystical ideal throughout Western history. Written in condensed fashion, this book systematically presents movements, individuals, and ideas that have followed the wisdom of Egypt. Hornung gives the reader much substantive material to stimulate further research and reading, and each chapter provides an effective overview of a particular phase of the evolution of Egypt's impact on the Western world. Moving from pharaonic times, Hornung reviews the Egyptian wisdom tradition in the classical world and its influence on astrology, alchemy, Gnosticism, Hermetism, magic, and the Isis mysteries. He then traces this through succeeding eras. The book also discusses the impact of this tradition on Rosicrucians, Freemasons, and many other groups, continuing to the present day. While maintaining his belief in the distinction between these two approaches to Egypt, Hornung is remarkable among Egyptologists for according a valuable role to Egyptosophy. His final words ring more true today than when Hornung first penned them. He says, "The impending turn of the millennium nourished hopes of new spiritual light for humankind in the aspirations of many. Egypt will surely play a role in such developments in many forms. Pharaonic Egypt and the esoteric Hermetic Egypt. There has been increasing talk of the relevance of the Hermetic Weltanschauung worldview as a point of view that can contribute to making sense of our modern world by seeking a direct connection with the original wisdom of the oldest cultures and with the core idea of all esoteric thought, according to which the ancient wisdom continues to be valid even in a world that has been transformed. All Hermetism is by its very nature tolerant. Hermes Trismegistus is a god of harmony, of reconciliation, and transformation, and he preaches no rigid dogma. He is thus an antidote to the fundamentalism that must be overcome if we desire to live in peace. The Secret Lore is a valuable sourcebook for the Western tradition of Egyptian wisdom and is useful for casual readers and researchers alike. Dr. Jeremy Nadler's reworking and publication of his doctoral thesis is the best example to date of why it is no longer tenable to hold the older academic viewpoint that mysticism and initiations did not exist prior to Hellenistic Egypt. In Shamanic Wisdom in the Pyramid Texts, he presents a magisterial study of both the history of viewpoints on Egyptian mystical practice and a case study in a shamanic interpretation of the texts found in the Pyramid of Unas. A philosopher, cultural historian, and scholar of religious studies, Nadler earlier published a very valuable study of the Egyptian experience of the sacred in Temple of the Cosmos, which is accessible to both specialist and general reader. In Shamanic Wisdom, he succeeds in the same way, negotiating the difficult task of producing a work that is, at one and the same time, a serious scholarly statement and an engaging and enjoyable read. Shamanic wisdom has several goals. The first is to refute the academic Egyptological presupposition that Pharaonic Egypt had no tradition of mystical practice. A second is to give a case study of just how such texts can reveal their mysticism. Nadler also seeks to awaken the spiritual dimension within us, and with which the Egyptians were so familiar. The five chapters of Part 1, Mysticism in Ancient Egypt, and the last chapter of Part 2, The Recovery of Ancient Egyptian Mysticism, constitute an excellent introduction to the evolution of viewpoints on Egyptian mysticism from ancient times to the present. Nadler introduces the reader to the ancient, medieval, Renaissance, and modern sources on all sides of the issue. Taking a transdisciplinary approach, he argues that the sources supporting ancient Egyptian mysticism have a foundation in fact, using the tools of historical, cultural, literary, religious, and phenomenological analysis. Nadler traces the origins and reasons for academic Egyptology's rejection of the idea that there was mysticism in ancient Egypt. One is the Western assumption that the way to attain reliable knowledge is through science rather than through religious or mystical experience, and that science was a product of Greek, not Egyptian, civilization. In parallel studies, it is interesting to note that the work on the pre-Socratic philosophers being done by Peter Kingsley also undercuts the roots of this assumption, demonstrating that those Greek founders of logic, math, and science were themselves initiates, and that their knowledge and wisdom were derived from their mysticism. A second example is the Western myth of progress, in which it is vital for our approaches to be superior to those of the peoples of distant antiquity. Swayed by this presupposition, Egyptology and other disciplines today are guided by this mythos. The assumption that modern materialistic science provides the only sure path to acquiring knowledge, and that true knowledge began with the Greeks, not the Egyptians, to a large extent rests on a second, deeply rooted assumption that human history constitutes a steady progress, not only of knowledge, but also of social organization and psychological and spiritual maturity. Thus, the idea of progress not only works out to our advantage, but it also disadvantages the past. For the earlier the culture, the more primitive it must have been. This contrasts with the way ancient cultures tended to view the past, which was that history involves a gradual decline from an original golden age in which human beings lived in harmony with the gods. Nadler skillfully narrates this portion of his study as a detective story of how the academic rejection of the initiatic character of Pharaonic Egypt came to be. He also traces the exceptions to this trend, including the pioneering work of René Schwaller de Lubitz, demonstrating the vital symbolic character of Egyptian civilization, and the Egyptological work of Alexandre Moret during the 1920s, which interpreted several Egyptian rituals as initiatory experiences. Although mainstream academics have not yet been swayed, Shamanic Wisdom chronicles lonely voices among modern scholars who acknowledge the place of initiations and mysticism within Egyptian life and religion, including Sotirios Mayasis in the 1950s, Walter Federn in the 1960s, Edward F. Vente, Arthur Versluis, and François Doma in the 1970s and 80s, and W. Breed Christensen and Allison Roberts in the 1990s and the 2000s. Readers could hardly find a better introduction, summary, and guidebook through this vital field. The second task of shamanic wisdom is equally well laid out. Dr. Nadler analyzes the pyramid texts from the Pyramid of Unas from the 5th dynasty, some 4,350 years ago. Through transdisciplinary analysis, four chapters demonstrate the uses of these texts over and above their funerary uses, in an initiatic, mystical, and shamanic context, revealing them to be a means to die before you die, a pivotal purpose in shamanism. Thoroughly referenced and illustrated, this work provides an invaluable contribution to the dialogue about the mysteries of ancient Egypt. Scholars, seekers, and all those interested in pharaonic spirituality would be hard-pressed to find a better introduction to the history of the Western view of Egypt's mysticism and to a modern transdisciplinary approach validating the age-old view of ancient Egypt as a repository of primordial mysticism and wisdom. This insight is not purely of academic interest. While not advocating a literal revival of pharaonic religion, Nadler suggests, in much the same way that the Rosicrucian Order adapts the ancient tradition to our own day, that the study of ancient Egyptian religion may lead us to conceive of a task that we will have to fulfill in the present day. This task is to open ourselves once more to those realms of spirit that we are presented with in the mystical literature of Egypt. This could lead to the possibility of a new Egyptian-inspired renaissance in which Western spiritual culture is given fresh vigor by connecting to its Egyptian roots. The study of ancient Egyptian religion paradoxically points us toward our own future, which is surely to develop new capacities of consciousness that would awaken us once more to the spiritual realities of which the mystical literature of ancient Egypt speaks. Just what the spiritual and mystical import of such attention to the Egyptian model would be is the subject of Arthur Verus Lewis's 1988 volume, The Egyptian Mysteries. A professor of American Studies at Michigan State University, he is a leading voice in academic esoteric studies in North America and has compiled an impressive bibliography on esotericism and mystical spirituality. Currently the editor of the online journal Esoterica, he is also the founding president of the Association for the Study of Esotericism, which brings together scholars and students from across North America and promotes dialogue with European esoteric scholars and institutions. Verus Lewis does not care to debate the question of the Egyptian source of wisdom and spirituality. Rather, he chooses to begin this volume with a clear assertion of the ancient viewpoint. He says, "There can be little doubt that whatever traditional symbology and metaphysics remain in the West today can be traced back to ancient Egypt, that land whose people," said Herodotus, "were scrupulous beyond all measure in matters of religion." Seeking what might remain of the Prisca Theologia for us today, Verus Lewis analyzes the major characteristics of the Egyptian spiritual viewpoint. In Part 1, he looks in turn at the concepts and practices represented by Ma'at, the primal Ennead, Isis, Osiris, the second death when one becomes an Ak, an effective of voice, Typhon, Hermanubis, Re, the sun, the two lands, sacred language and hieroglyphs, the mysteries, and apokatastasis, the restoration of all things. Part 2 then delves into initiation, its nature and practice in ancient Egypt and today. The prose is spare and telegraphic. Verus Lewis writes as an initiate, sometimes ending with the phrase, "More than this we cannot say." As he ranges through the topics of Egyptian mystical spirituality, his discussion is informed by his own considerable erudition of world spiritual esoteric and exoteric traditions, including Sufi, Hindu, Buddhist, and Judeo-Christian mysticism. Each chapter says just enough to give sufficient information, and more importantly, to inspire readers to go within for their own reflections. That is one of the secrets of this little book. While it is scholarly and connects Egyptian themes to world spiritualities, It is also very personal and individual. In the chapter on the Great Restoration, which must follow the Kali Yuga, the end of all things, Verslewis reminds us, "And indeed, if we succeed, if we tread that ancient path primordial, regardless of the blindness of our time, regardless of our distance from ancient Egypt, our lives can still reflect the divine sun. Our world can still be translucent and alive. For that ancient path can never vanish, though it can for us be obscured. Yet if we enter upon it, it shall ever be the same, as it was and is and ever shall be. And when it is so for us, each as individuals, that is the true restoration, the true apocatastasis. All else is anticlimactic." In addition to the mysteries of Egypt and its initiations, Verslewis reveals an Egypt much nearer the Zeb Tepe, the first times. As did Schwaller de Lubitz, he conceives of Egypt as an initiatic culture in its totality, manifested most clearly in its spirituality. His sections on initiation discuss what can be salvaged from the ancient world, moving from the nature of initiation and symbolism in Egypt and throughout the world, to the work necessary for initiation, and finally to initiatory possibilities in our current age. Writing from the point of view of one at the end of an age, Verslewis masterfully guides readers as candidates through this initiatic volume. This is the type of book that accomplishes what it is about. It is a kind of initiation into the Egyptian mysteries it discusses. This will take place, as do all initiations, according to the mode of the readers and their times. The Egyptian Mysteries offers in true mystical fashion only what is necessary for others to follow the path by one who has done the work. It is very unusual to experience such writing, at one time scholarly and mystical. However, in company with Peter Kingsley and a few others, Dr. Verslewis has produced a living text to introduce the Egyptian Mysteries, much as his later Theosophia does for the Judeo-Christian Islamic path of the heart. It seems fitting to conclude our consideration of these three works on the initiatic and mystical tradition of ancient Egypt with Verslewis's final invitation to his readers at the end of the Egyptian Mysteries. This is the purpose of the Mysteries for all who participate in their work and worship. All initiation transmutes as one passes through its transmission. Tradition is a mediatrix. Initiate and symbol converge to reveal the immutable origin, and every moment is initiatory for those with eyes to see. Let us begin.